You're not late.
Okay. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. I'll let Paul make adjustments to the clock.
I jumped the gun.
What gun?
I'm glad that I waited long enough for the clock to rectify itself with my wife's car. It's now correct. Okay, you ready, Paul? Okay, we'll call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Sherry, roll call, please.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Bonnie Anya.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Ken Oplinger.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Okay, there are no recognition and awards this evening. Do we have anyone for audience participation? No, we don't. Okay, let's go on to Commission's Committee and Board Reports. Plan Economic Development Advisory Committee, Clark.
No report.
Ken, how about the countrywide economic development? Countywide.
We'll just keep it to the county.
Okay.
The Northwest Economic Council has completed its four or five year process of the Whatcom Futures Plan, which is their effort to try and help with municipalities and the county as we begin the 2016 master planning process. That document can be found on their website. They're asking for comments back by the 22nd of this month, at which point they hope to finalize it and move forward with getting that out.
What's the website again?
Their website is nwec.org.
Okay.
Boys and Girls Club, Ken.
No reports.
Wayne Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie.
Yes, they did have a meeting, and Debbie Harder gave a presentation on the Wings Over Water, and there was another birding expert there, and he showed some slides of birds, and that's coming up in a...
This Saturday.
Is it this coming Saturday? Okay. Yep, that's it there. And there's no Red Loan Committee report.
Okay. WTA, Paul.
No meeting, no report.
Charlie, Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No regular meeting, but I talked to Steve Seymour, who's the head of the Shellfish and Oyster Group out there, and he said he's going to work that
Okay, Library Committee, Dennis.
Nothing on the library.
Senior Center Liaison.
There's this Wednesday, they're having, they call it St. Patrick's Day Community Celebration, and it's to support the Meals on Wheels. And
is that Saturday?
Wednesday. And it's from 5 to 7. And it's a donation. There's going to be music, Irish folk music. And then Saturday they're going to have pancakes for the bird watchers.
Okay. Mr. Jones, do we have anything on the Planning Commission?
Nothing on the Planning Commission, sir, or the Park and Cemetery Board. Both of them do have upcoming meetings that you can see on the calendar section.
Okay, Law and Justice Council, Chief's not here. Small Cities Caucus, Gary, nothing?
No report.
No report. Whatcom Council of Governments, no report. And we have the North Whatcom Fire Update.
Have you all met Ron Anderson?
No, I don't think so.
Ron is,
maybe I have.
Ron is
this new chief for the fire district.
Terrific.
I think this is your first visit to the council.
I think I came one other time earlier and met this group. It's been probably 4 months ago.
It must not have been memorable.
Thank you. Well, I had that effect on people, yeah.
Right.
So do we.
Well, yeah, I'm here tonight because Henry was off singing with his musical group. So what I brought you tonight is just our monthly newsletter. And so we have a variety of stories about things that we're involved in the various communities that we serve in there. So if you guys don't have any questions on that, I'll just let you read that at your leisure. And
well, we appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
I have a question. Thank
you. Okay, Charlie has a question.
The Calling Hats Reservoir assists for local nonprofits to support safety. What groups does that include?
We raise money in that fun run walk, and we're doing the support officers who come out everywhere in Whatcom County, either with law enforcement or with fire. If there's a death, recently we had a fire out off Willie's Lake Road, and there was a death. So the support officers come out, and they take care of any of the family needs and stuff like that. And then the other, we're supporting two groups this year, and then the other group is a gentleman who was a Bellingham firefighter who has his own fire truck and is taking it on himself to educate kids about fire safety. So we're going to aid him with some public education material to help that process.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions for the chief?
Nope.
Okay. Then go on to the city manager and staff reports. Mr. City Manager.
Okay. As you can see, we're at least a little bit shorthanded on staff tonight. Jeff is taking care of some business in Seattle. And Mike told me he was just worn out from doing two patrol shifts. I think he was looking for sympathy, but...
Well, he has arson.
But anyway,
we have the quality here, not the quantity.
Okay.
We'll start with Raven.
Good evening. Just a couple of quick things to report. I think our action items kind of give you the bulk of the project update since we're awarding a couple of projects. But on some other news, I just want to let you know that we're working on some tweaks to the unified fee schedule relating to water and sewer and street fees. Kind of started with our discussions with Nature's Path and as a potential sewer customer, and we realized that the methods and the means by which we calculate our sewer surcharge are very difficult and hard to understand, and we thought that adjustments in the rate would make that easier. And like I said, if we're already looking at one, why not look at the rest of them, which have not been updated in several years? So I'll be bringing that hopefully in a future work session with you, possibly even our next meeting. And also just to let you know that the Department of Commerce grant was supposed to be announced last week. We got an email saying they need two more weeks. So hopefully at your next council meeting, keep your fingers crossed, we'll be reporting some good news relating to that. And then if you haven't been out in the general area of the airport or SR 543 lately, please come by and check out the new signs directing you to Public Works.
Okay. Question. Bonnie has a question.
Puget Power transfer update.
What?
Puget Power up in
Yes,
Vista Terrace.
Yes, I can do that. We are actually meeting with them at their offices this Friday. So this meeting has been arranged with the person who has been our liaison through the process. She's set this up with the guy that does the contract. So we are hopeful that by having everybody in the same room and for us to finally be on their list of priorities, that we're going to make some progress.
Is this kind of a negotiation kind of situation?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, we had a draft contract. We provided our comments and concerns on that way back the end of last year, I think. And this is how long it's been to set up a meeting. And I've been following up with them at least every week to 2 weeks since then. But
I keep getting asked by people up there. My gosh, yeah. It's taken years.
No, we've really emphasized how important this is as a priority. And even if it means we don't determine the service area for the entire city, mm-hmm. even if it means we can just capture the East Blaine piece, which I think is the easiest to negotiate, mm-hmm. I think that's where we'll head. Because we, like you know, we have things totally on standby because of the lack of this agreement. And they seem very interested in letting go of that area, probably because their infrastructure is so substandard. So I think we have a really good avenue to, if things don't look like we can look at the whole thing and get it all decided at once, I think we have a spot that we can say, okay, let's solidify that, and then we can keep working on the rest of it.
I think just as much as wanting to get on Blaine Power, which they want, but just as important as that is they really want those street lamps put up, especially right. the one at Vista Terrace Drive. It's a very dark intersection in trying to make the turn at nighttime. It's very dark. So that's what they're eager to have, and apparently we can't put that up until we get this thing worked out.
Right, and that Vista Terrace would be encompassed in the area that we are trying to target as our top priority.
Clark has a question.
When are we going to pave the streets?
I'm sorry?
When are we going to pave the street?
Oh, pave the street. Pave the street. I was just chatting about that on the elevator. We're working on getting a schedule back from Schremler as to when they're going to be able to proceed. Right now, the banner arch, which is the big keystone that is going to be kind of the grand entrance into downtown Blaine, that is under fabrication. And what I told them is I don't want them to start work and not finish. So when they come and they do it all. So between that and waiting for the dry weather to really hit, I'm hoping probably April or May, get it all done. And when I hear something, I will definitely let you know in a future project update. But that has been the only communication I've had with them is go ahead and they're proceeding with the fabrication of the arch. They've had to, it's a pretty massive piece of steel.
What are you talking about?
Okay, at the just past Peace Portal, there's two big poles that are in the ground where the banner used to go. We're going to be putting in a permanent archway between those two poles that is going to be the support structure for future banners, but also be a very artistic and a demonstrative way of saying you are in downtown Blaine. It's going to be quite beautiful. That was always a part of the project. I think
I hate to bring this up, but does that mean we're going to fix the clock?
The clock's fixed?
It's just not working today.
I'm going to buy
Does
a new one.
Does it need to be set back, or is it actually
total? No, it's about 3 hours off.
Oh, shoot.
Went the wrong one.
No, that's something that we did ourselves, and it doesn't sound like it would.
Okay, I think it's only off on one side.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's okay, then.
What did he say?
It's only off on one side.
Well, that's good.
It's two different.
Paul,
I'm so happy.
Paul has a question.
This may be something that I missed in my absence. But what was a pumping station about 200 yards off of Drayton Harbor Road at St. Andrews No. 2 entrance seems to have vanished.
Yes. It was a decommissioned pump station. We have essentially picked it up and moved it to the watershed. We're going to be using it as storage for chlorine.
Okay, so it was taken away because it's no longer needed.
It's not needed right where Great. It was before, and we found a greater purpose for it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Raven,
my constituents.
Raven, are we planning on bringing the water from up to the golf course this spring?
Yes.
What time approximately is it?
Typically, I believe the agreement, if I recall, talked about May. They still have some signage things. I was in touch with Mr. Vance a little bit last year in terms of getting us his sign plan, and then I have to say I dropped it because we were so busy trying to get the construction contract finalized.
Okay.
We also have some interest from I can't remember the name of the condo association. Can you help me here? Glen Eagle. The Glen Eagle condominiums are interested in using reclaim to fill their lower pond when it dries out in the summer.
Okay.
And so we worked out some contract language with them last week. So we may have two customers this spring.
Good. Any other questions for Ruth? City manager?
Okay. Michael?
I hope you can hear me. I'm going to give a presentation on council room acoustics. But I guess that didn't work. You must not have been able to hear me because it was funny. We have had a preliminary analysis done. We're trying to be, you know, conservative on spending money on this end, but we basically have determined that based upon the room size and the reflective surfaces, the ceiling, floor, and walls, we need 400 units of what is measured in a SABIN. It's a unit of noise attenuation. And we need about 200 units on the walls and 200 units on the ceiling. And so keeping that in mind, we've already talked about getting curtains, particularly on this west wall because of the bright light during certain sunset times of year. And we've also talked about the idea of, well, having curtains on the whole area to control light would be, you know, beneficial for presentations and that kind of thing. Well, when you buy curtains, you want to make sure they're the same color, so it's important to buy the curtains all at the same time. So buying them just for that wall doesn't make sense. We really need to buy them for the whole thing because of dye lots and that kind of thing with fabric. Going through that process, we've come to realize that we have about 770 square feet of curtains. Those will give us about 390 sabins, so almost the whole amount that we need for the room. Problem is, it's all on the walls, none on the ceiling. So we're going to go ahead with the drapes. Some of this has already been budgeted, and the drapes will cost about $10,000 to $11,000. We're finalizing some numbers on those. It's a lot of fabric. And before our recommendation or our plan at this point is not to go ahead with anything on the ceiling until we have the draperies up on the wall, because it's going to provide so much of what we need. We'd like to see how it does. Mm-hmm. It's possible we may decide we don't need the ceiling treatment. However, if we do, we have looked into that, and there are some very standard commercial products available. They're just glue-on flexible panels that will go right up on the ceiling up there. Once they're up, you'll hardly notice them, probably after the first couple times you're in the room. And we need about 200 square feet of panels because they're about a one-to-one relationship to the SABIN. Those would be about $2,500 or so installed. We, again, preliminary estimates on the installation cost. Very simple, though. You glue them up. Can't be all that challenging. And so at this point, we're moving ahead with the drapes. We expect them to be substantial improvement, and we're planning to hold off on the ceiling treatment until that's taken care of, just to be conservative and not spend more money than we need to on that. But if we do need it, that's the next plan. The drapes will take about 3 to 4 weeks for delivery from the time that we order them, which likely may be this week. So about a month from now, we could have them up. We could obviously do both at once. Again, that's not the plan at this point. I do want to give you one disclaimer that we got from the person who did the acoustic assessment of the room, is to say that a barrel-shaped ceiling like this has some very interesting acoustic nuances. It's the kind of thing you hear about in crime novels and spy novels. You stand in a certain spot in the dome-shaped room, and you can hear a whisper on the other side, right? So this room potentially has those kind of acoustics. So I guess that tells you don't stand somewhere and whisper and assume no one can hear you. But we may find, even after we've done these things, that there are some odd spots. But we may just have to live with those or spend some more money trying to deal with them. I'm told it probably won't be a big deal, but they did think that that was worth mentioning. I also wanted to tell you that the sound systems were recently checked. Some alternative microphones were tested. Other than the recording system, which has some things that are being resolved, the sound system is working. And it is working adequately as it did in our old space. All they can tell us, again, is you have to speak into the microphones. A lot of the noise is being lost into the room because of the acoustics. So hopefully we'll see a dramatic improvement. The next step for, I think you're hearing us fairly well, it seems like. And that microphone there seems to be working pretty well when people are standing close enough to it, the podium mic. The next step potentially would be lapel mics for council if you decide you want to do that, although that was not budgeted for, and that is fairly substantial expense, $10,000 to $15,000 is what I understand.
We would actually, it would be more of that, after talking to Bob, it would be over $20,000.
Okay.
So it's a lot easier just to speak into your
mic. Michael, when you talk about those microphones that you have, are they better than the ones we've got here? I mean, is that a difference?
They are different, but we don't.
Are they more expensive?
I don't know that they are better. I have no idea, honestly.
Because we'd have no trouble hearing you except for Clark.
Yeah, but see, this is because he's about a foot away from the mic. Yeah. And you're much farther back. I think
if we just talk like this into the mic, people can hear us.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do that with his mic.
He's pretty damn close to it.
No, but I'm pretty loud too. Yeah. So.
Well, I can hear you fine.
A low voice.
I just was wondering if those mics were better than these.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, Clark.
If you put the drapes up, and that cures the acoustic problem in here, because the people in the audience can't hear, and that's been a complaint I've heard.
Right.
What happens if you want to see the size of that and you open the drapes?
Then you won't be able to hear.
Okay. So we're going to have a dark room.
So they have to be closed.
Well, for meetings like this, you'll need the drapes closed. But you're the only ones looking towards the sun.
Okay, so what are the things you're going to put in the ceiling you were talking about doing?
They're acoustic tiles, and they're basically flexible foam tiles. That you'll hardly even notice.
And that costs $2,500 and it fixes all the problems with or without the drapes?
No.
Well, that's in addition to?
In addition to the drapes.
Okay.
So the drapes are a sort of a must-do for other reasons, and we're going that way first.
Okay, the T-loop works, and I can't hear you. I can hear most people, but most people that come up there and they talk, they just kind of... And Bonnie doesn't talk into the microphone, and Charlie doesn't, and so I don't... So should I get
that.
A long thumper and just whopper, or what?
That would be your decision.
Oh.
All I can say is people need to speak into the microphone.
Yes, they do.
And sometimes it's as simple as just if you turn your head away like this and you're still really close to the microphone, if you don't have a powerful enough voice.
These are very, very directional. Yeah,
they're not omnidirectional.
They are not omnidirectional. They have a narrow cone.
Bonnie, you talk over.
So
I have a soft voice anyway, so I really need to get right up there.
There she does.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And Bob and I have talked about seeing if we can get a couple of the omnidirectionals that sit, like more conference-related, that sit on the desk, and see if it will pick up a couple of council members at one time. So we are looking at that also.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to know if you can only put that Sabbath stuff on some of these.
So anyway, that's where we're going. Hopefully in about a month we'll have some changes in the acoustics, and we will move on from there.
Okay. See, Jeff isn't here. And City Clerk?
Yes, I provided the council with information from Cara Turner regarding the status of the recruitment. She has received about 9 applications, but does not anticipate getting the majority of them until probably the last week. So we'll keep updated on that. She provided a list of the advertising, which included the Herald, Career Builders, several different associations of cities and Craigslist. We put it on the City of Blaine website. That would be February 25th, prior to the last council meeting. I was out sick, but that's one thing I made sure I did, was get it onto the website that afternoon. And then we updated and put the actual job description itself on the website. I did that Tuesday morning. So as far as the April 8th council meeting, we probably won't have an executive session for her to pass out the applications. It'll probably just be provided to the councils through their mailboxes. But we'll keep you updated on that.
Sherry, could you ask Cara to provide us a report for each meeting, even if it's only a couple of lines, so that we have something from her at each meeting?
Yes, we could definitely do that.
You know, it's just going to be two lines or three lines. This is where we're at. We had nine applications last time. We now have got 11. Now, something like that, so we're constantly aware of where this process is.
You do have something in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that right now. But I'm just saying every meeting, I think we should have something. Yeah.
We've tried to make that, put that on the agenda until you...
Yeah, maybe it should be an agenda item until we get further on along or something.
Yeah, well, you
can include it in your report. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and I have nothing to report, so that's Ken's manager's report.
Okay, now we're going to a public hearing, and Sherry, I'm embarrassed to say I do not have the public hearing notification or instructions statement. Do you have those there? And could you?
Could look them up.
I don't think.
Basically, this is just an administrative public hearing.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Okay.
I don't think you need to.
It's not quasi-judicial or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, not a quasi-judicial. Okay, so we're going to have a public hearing. If anyone would like to speak to the
can I give maybe?
Yes, you certainly may.
Just give a 2-minute introduction.
Okay.
The council has a council action form that explains this, but nearly 11 years ago, we negotiated an agreement with the Lummi Business Council regarding the issue that we had at the old wastewater treatment plant, where we dug up about 20,000 cubic yards of material that contained human remains and artifacts, and so we had to negotiate a settlement because of that. And in the negotiations, we had a provision that the property upon which the old wastewater treatment plant sat would be turned over, would be deeded to the Lummi Business Council when we no longer needed it. And so that's kind of where we are right now. We've been working with them for over a year to negotiate a transfer agreement. The mayor was involved in that, as was Michael and Steve Bannon. That still isn't completed. But we're moving forward with the transfer of the property because the Lummi have requested that the property be put in trust and with the federal government, and they can't do that until they have the deed to the property. And so that's why we're moving forward and surplusing that piece of property. We do have a facility that remains on the site. There's a lift station that we will continue to have there and maintain it. And so we will jointly operate access to the facility, and maintenance in some areas. We'll still have an agreement with the Lummi to to do that. So this action is a hearing on the transfer of that portion of the wastewater treatment facility that we no longer use or need.
Let's open the public hearing up first, Charlie. If anyone would like to speak to this issue, they would step forward, state their name, address. Okay, hearing none. Charlie, you have a question for staff.
Yeah, well, just a comment. I think we should be just as diligent about negotiating this as they were negotiating with us.
Okay, Clark, do you have anything?
I can't hear.
Okay, Paul?
As I recall, when these negotiations started, there was the expectation that the land would be used for cultural or religious purposes. And I see no language to that effect in the current piece that we are asked to vote on. Has something changed?
Well, there is no restriction on the deed that that says that. There is the agreement that we're negotiating that says that the land will be used as a cultural resource site, basically a cemetery, and that they will comply with the rules and regulations of the city as it relates to zoning and development. The settlement agreement, they have waived their sovereignty, which was kind of unusual for that to happen. But they will comply with the rules and regulations, the same rules and regulations as anyone else does in the city in the terms of developing the property. So if it's allowed in that zone, they can do it.
You know, this represents a significant weakening of my understanding of a year or two back.
You're saying that's different than what you understood?
I understood that the land is to be used only for cultural purposes, such as the cemetery or a cultural center. And now I understand that that land could be used for condos or gas stations or whatever else might be permitted in that area.
Michael, do you want to address that?
Well, it is, as I recall, that is a part of the agreement to turn over the property, is, as you mentioned, for cultural purposes, memorial, cemetery, and such. It also, you know, the zoning would also still apply, but that is separate. Unless that agreement's changed, I understand that is still in the settlement agreement.
I didn't bring it up here, so.
Right, because this is just to surplus the property, not to agree on how they can.
Okay, but what would happen under the worst possible scenario if they were to have the deed to the property and they were to decide that they no longer want to negotiate on the agreement? They have the deed, they can do with the property as they see fit.
That's true. Yeah. However, I just would point out, you're not deeding the property to them at this time. You're just declaring it surplus, so that action could happen.
Gotcha.
And our intent is to not deed them the property until the agreement is in place.
Right.
And okay. Your intent also is to have the agreement reflect the understanding that we had 2 years ago, which is the land is to be used for cultural or religious purposes, including a cemetery.
If that's what the agreement says, that's what we will do.
Dennis, you had a question first?
Gary, is the materials that were excavated going to be returned back to the site?
Well, much of it, I'm not sure most of it. I think most of it has been. There remains some material on Larry Freeman's property, and over the years, the Lummi have been sifting that, and as they recover the artifacts and human remains, the material that's left, much of it has been transported back and put into the excavated site. But there's still, I'm talking to Larry not too long ago, there still remains some material that needs to be moved to to the site.
It was my understanding that that material was to use to cover the pipes out there.
Where?
No.
They were not going to excavate. They were going to. Everything was going to be on top of the ground when they were putting in.
Yeah, all the material that was left was sifted, and it was left alone during the construction for them to sift through. And all new excavation was monitored by a city contracted archaeologist, for which we paid for with the Wilson Engineering contract.
But we didn't use the material that was left after the sifting. We didn't use that for road base or anything.
No.
No, but as you mentioned, Councilman Olson, the pipes are on top of the ground, and they were buried in a berm. But the berm was imported material, not the material that previously contained human remains.
Yeah, because
that still might possibly have some. It was not treated that way. It was imported material.
Are there any other questions? Ken?
I guess a series of questions, but since what we're really doing this evening is just making this property surplus, I guess what I would ask is when we get to the point where we're talking about the deed, that we sort of do a more fuller history of this, maybe even have John here so we can ask some people questions, because when I certainly knew in passing about this, but was on the council at the time, and I've got a lot of questions about this process before I really say yay or nay to it. So.
We can do that.
Okay. There are no other questions. I'll close the public hearing.
We will, Ken, you will, when we get the settlement agreement or the transfer agreement completed, the council has to act to approve that, as does the Lummi Business Council.
So we'll get the draft of it.
Okay. It addresses a lot of the issues.
Carry any written communications? Good. That's good. Consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $710,025.01. Approval of payroll in the amount of $434,512. Approval of the February 25th council meeting minutes and the March 4th joint study session meeting minutes. And do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes 7-0. Next item is the council action items. First item is authorize the city manager to sign an economic development study agreement. Mr. City Manager, would you like to address that?
You all got a copy of it, right?
Yes.
I've spoken to Jim Hebert a couple times. It's near the end of last week, and we're going to talk again this Friday. But I think for the most part, this agreement lays out how he will approach the project that he's going to be doing for us. The topics that I spoke to him about was two main ones. One is that we not go into this project predisposed to any particular direction, for example, medical facilities or some other, not to lock in this early, but to actually take a good look at what the possibilities might be. And the second area that we talked about, he agreed, was that I wanted some opportunities for involvement of our citizens who have an interest in this area of economic development, and that one of our goals would be to use this to create a coalition of folks who are interested in economic development in Blaine, and that this document might become kind of the roadmap of areas that we would agree to that we're going to kind of address in the future. And I see that as being, I've always seen that as being one of the most significant takeaways of getting this done. And he understands that and agreed that that should be a priority of his working with us as well. So I'm, at this point, I'm comfortable with the proposal that he has put forth, and with my discussions with him over the past couple of weeks. And my recommendation is that you direct me to sign this.
Need approval.
Second.
Any discussion questions?
I have a question.
Any other question?
I can't get a perspective on this.
Yep.
Where is this photo taken? I can't get a perspective
that
on it.
That is that is the wrong photo.
Yeah. I feel better.
I got this back to you, or I got this out to you before I had contacted the young fellow that works for Jim Heber and told him that he should put a different photo on the front. And he did. I just didn't get you the right copy out because I didn't have the new photo. But I will get you a new photo, and it is of the airport property.
Okay, I still can't even make it out.
That's the wrong okay. photo.
Well, it's...
it's of the airport property somewhere.
No, it's the green building that you see there is... that's Rooney's building, I think.
That's Rooney's.
I do believe it's upside down and reverse, which is really hard to do.
It's hard to figure out, but it's upside down and reverse.
The improved road that you see going across it left to right is Odell, which would usually go north to south, up and down on picture. So it's just the wrong site.
Okay.
Gary, can I ask you if we plan to share this with the county-wise economic development group? Are they going to participate in this, or
the county-wide one?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Okay. I just was wondering if we were...
Well, the county-wide economic development group now is actually the port. Yeah, I'm sure that through, especially our IRT process, we'll be sharing with the port because they're going to be helping us recruit for the site.
Okay. God, my hope is that we have a committee put together that would include Dodge Snodgrass, Michael,
okay.
John, myself, Ken, if he can do it, and a person from the committee that Clark has been working with. So whoever you would like to.
So those
we would be kind of the steering committee for this project.
So they will be involved.
Yeah.
The court is going to be involved.
Okay. Well, especially because they're paying for that.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, I have just a quick question. The main focus of this is the airport property, but there's some other properties as well that he's going
Correct.
To be...
The main focus is our property, our gateway property, but it also includes the industrial property around the airport.
Okay. So even though there's other property owners involved, it's going to include the highest and best use of all of that.
It'll include Hayes' property, Rooney's property, the property along Odell that was going to be the
pharmaceutical. Yeah, okay.
It'll include that. Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
Anything across 8th Street, the north side of 8th Street?
Charlie, do you have a question?
The geographic boundaries of this are pretty loose. I mean, the information that we get to be used
by everybody.
You know, I mean, Doug Conley.
Okay, we got a motion on the table. call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
It's about killed it for
you. The next item is to adopt resolution number 1620-13, surplus real property. Who's going to speak to that?
Well, we just did. This is the this is the action item on the public hearing, okay. Which is surplusing the what we refer to as the sealage.
Yes.
The sealage property.
Sealage property.
The term that's used in the transfer agreement. It's capital TSI, capital LITCH.
Okay. So, okay, we, anyone wish to make a motion on resolution 1620-13?
So moved.
Second. Seconder? Do we have a seconder?
Second.
Dennis seconds it. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. The next item is resolution number 1621-13. Sole source to replace actuator valve motors at LPWRF.
We have four such valves in our plant that are used to control air to our aeration basin. The local distributor for that is AVS of Arlington. We have a need to replace those valves currently, and so we're asking for your authorization as sole source to this distributor so that we can proceed.
Okay, we have resolution number 1621-13. Anyone care to make a motion?
So moved.
Charlie, seconder?
I'll second.
Clark seconds. Question, Ken.
I have.
So, is there any concern about replacing them at this time? I mean, have they sort of lived the life that we had planned, or is it just sort of seems like we're making some substantial expenditures on a plant that's not all that old?
Yeah, these are part of just the regular maintenance and operation of the facility. There's no major concern other than the fact that because we were watching our funding so closely at the end of last year, we held off this resolution until now.
Got it. Thank you.
Charlie, you have a question?
Yeah, the two big chunks of metal left down in the parking lot, is that part of this?
No, actually, that's a slightly different item. That does relate to a warranty item for the screens to the wastewater plant that has been something on my plate pretty much since I got here. The original screens that were fabricated didn't quite meet spec, and instead of saying send them away, we asked for a 5-year warranty instead of a 1-year warranty. And lo and behold, they've been problematic pretty much since day one of our full operation. And so we negotiated their full replacement. It will be occurring this week. And then the old screens will either surplus for materials or use elsewhere within our system.
Paul?
Just to do my due diligence, give me 3 sentences to convince me that we really need to go sole source on these.
I really need you to do a sole source. No, just kidding. these are a very critical component of the wastewater plant relating to the aeration basin. Without these materials, we are not getting adequate supply of air when staff is not on site, and they are the only local distributor that the manufacturer allows.
Yeah, that last sentence is the only relevant one. That they really are the only source of them. Okay.
That's what we're told.
Fine. Any other questions? Call for the vote. All in favor of adopting?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is the Harvey Pipeline Bid Award.
This bid award is for approximately 3,900 linear feet of 12-inch ductile iron water main, including all the appurtenances that will occur on Harvey from our watershed to pipeline and then pipeline north, and also includes installation of about 13,000 linear feet of 2-inch diameter electrical conduit. This installation will allow our electrical crew to move those lines abutting this improvement underground, which will provide better regularity for our residents in this area where we have a lot of trees and overhead lines. The lowest responsive bid was submitted by Colapriccio in the amount of $427,457. Which is a little more than $100,000 less than the engineer's estimate.
I move we accept.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for Charlie's motion?
Second.
20 seconds. Are there any questions or comments?
Ken? No. So do we have any concerns at all about this project, issues that we already know about that might cause it to increase in budget as we've seen in other projects?
There is one component of the project that we did take a gamble at, and that relates to the backfill that will be allowed by the county. This area, as you know, is outside the Blaine city limits, and every bit of fill in the road prism, the county requires crushed gravel, which is very expensive. When we're outside of the road prism, the county does allow native backfill if it can compact. So our hope is by the time this starts construction in April that we will have native soils that will have the ability to compact. If that is not the case, we do have a quantity for gravel in there that is a slightly cheaper mix of gravel that we can use for the backfill in the native areas. That actually was something that we talked about, changing the quantity or possibly changing the requirement, but we thought, well, this was a good risk to the taxpayers to try to take advantage of the ability to backfill that with native material. There's less need to haul away material, bring in material, but there is a risk there, and I think we determined it was in the neighborhood of about $15,000.
Oh, so we're not talking about the whole 100 year by any stretch of imagination.
Okay, thank you. Paul?
Nope.
On at least.
You want to go to Charlie? There's no flaggers involved, is there?
Can you repeat that one time?
There's no flaggers involved, is there?
There is flagging in the contract. It's also, it's a county road, so we got to keep it safe.
Paul? Just a second. Okay, on two previous occasions, we've had issue with them coming back to us and saying they require more flaggers than they had bid upon.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way of dealing with this issue in advance this time?
Well, we could certainly talk to the contractor about that. It's actually something that our operation crews brought up as well. I mean, flagging is in there by, if I have the bid tab somewhat handy here, I believe it's in there both lump sum and by the hour. And so the real question is whether or not we have estimated the proper number of hours. And that is just one of those things that is hard when doing a design of a project. So if I look at this here real quickly, we do have temporary traffic control by lump sum. I'm not seeing it by there. Okay. So that means that the contractor had to bid in there what he felt that the project needed. So unless we have additional requirements laid down by the county that were not otherwise laid out in the bid specifications, there shouldn't be a question.
But that didn't protect us the last two times in the sense that, as I understand it, the contractor bid what he thought would be appropriate,
mm-hmm.
and then in implementation of the contract, he decided that that was not, in fact, appropriate,
mm-hmm.
and came back to us and asked for more money.
Okay.
And so my real question here is, to what extent have we tried to head this type of issue off this time?
Well, this issue didn't come to my awareness until a couple of days ago when my ops team mentioned something. So I don't have that history. All I can do is bring it up to the contractor in the pre-construction meeting and let them know that it was a concern and make sure that there are no issues with it.
Okay, well,
generally speaking, unless we make a change to the specifications, like, okay, we're going to add another 1,000 feet of pipe, which adds more working days or something like that, there should not be something that they can bring back to us.
Okay, but on these two occasions that I remember, there were safety issues, and the contractor determined that for public safety, he had to, in fact, increase the number of flaggers and put us in the impossible position of saying either, no, we don't want public safety, or, yes, here's the additional money that you
gotcha.
Want.
Okay.
Raven, keeping the roads open.
Dale, what did you say about that?
Yeah, is that okay with you?
Thank you. I was just going to suggest that. Dale has history here.
Yeah,
it's
his fault, so you might.
So flagging is one of the hardest things to estimate for a project. I've had these discussions with Steve Bannum years ago. So what we did is on this project, since it's a fairly short run, so there's fewer houses impacted, it's a low volume roads, and it's a pretty defined construction process. That's why we bid this as lump sum. And in the specifications, we say you have to maintain one lane traffic. You have to maintain local access unless you've talked to all the property owners and they're aware that you might impact your local access. You have to follow these rules, these standards, these guidelines, and you've worked for the county before. Estimate what you think is going to be required, Mr. Contractor, to provide that kind of traffic control. So that's what we've done on this project to try to eliminate the city's risk. I believe the other projects you're referring to, let's say, for example, might have been 8th Street going up the hill. That's a much larger public impact, a much longer time frame of a project. And I don't think that a project like that you want to bid lump sum, because the contractor's going to see his risk as being too open, and you're going to get an excessively high bid on that. So we've tried to minimize the city's risk on this contract by bidding it lump sum. It's not to say, like Raven mentioned, the county might come and say, this is our roadway and you have to do it this way, and the contractor comes up with a creative argument as to why he could not have anticipated that in preparing the bid, but that would be an exceptional case. So I believe you're best protected with the lump sum item for this project.
Okay.
Dennis has a question. Charlie, do you have one?
Wouldn't the city and the contractor have contacted the county to see if there were any situations that might arise?
Well, we did get a revocable encroachment permit by which the county establishes what you need to do. They also reviewed our plans for the project, and so there should not be any major surprises. However, when you're on the county's roadway and they can try to require you to do whatever they feel so fit, however, we can argue that if it is extremely rare or not necessary. So we've tried to take those steps.
Are there any other questions or comments? Call for the vote. All in favor of approving the bid?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. The motion carries 6-1. The next item on the agenda is the airport building salvage bid award.
Yes, this project is one that we bid in the hopes of finding something relatively cost-neutral that would essentially raise the two buildings in the airport property that partially abut or partially encroach in the right-of-way. The difficulty with selling the site as it stands with the buildings in place is that those buildings can't be used because they're or redeveloped because they're part or in part in the right-of-way. The city then put out a bid invitation that essentially had several components. One was for the demolition, and then the second part subtracted the salvage value of the structures. And then finally, we also had bid alternates for removal of the asphalt and removal of the concrete below the structures. In review of the proposals, we received one from WRS. In the amount of $14,923, including sales tax, for essentially demolishing the building less the salvage value. The bid alternate one and bid alternate two, we have decided not to recommend award on at this time. So the item that we're requesting is, we're calling it option two, which is the total cost of demolition minus salvage. And again, we feel that this is a justifiable expense from the airport fund because it makes the properties much more marketable.
Question?
Do we have any money in the airport fund?
Yeah, we have spoken to Jeff, and we have the funds in the airport fund to pay for this. It's really, I think it's really important that we do this. It makes the property so much more markable. You look at the property now and you see those old buildings on it and you just don't get a sense as to what's possible, how big it is, what a nice location it is. We kind of kicked this around for a year or two, and I made the call that we just need to get it back. I think we'll get it back just by having the buildings out of the way.
Is there a motion to accept the bid and authorize the city manager to sell it?
A second.
Okay, the motion's on the table. Paul has a question.
Are either of these buildings being used at this point for any purpose?
Yes.
Would that purpose be the ACS van?
The what?
Auxiliary Communication Service van.
That I'm not sure. It was set up as a, what do they call it, a live fire facility that the police put together that used to be over in the other city hangar, the newer hangar, and then they were kicked out of there, so they moved it over to this hangar, but I think the understanding going in was that this was not a permanent.
I agree to that. My concern is that one of the primary purposes for the ACS van, as I understand it, is to provide emergency communication, particularly with respect to an earthquake. And were the van to be stored in the police station as it exists now, the police station in a major earthquake is apt to collapse itself and crush the van in doing so. So it seems kind of silly to have an expensive van and store it right next to one of the most vulnerable buildings in the town.
I agree. We've known for years that building does not meet seismic code. That's why we built it in the fire station. I think we're going to have to find another place to put it.
What about the fire station now at Simeone?
Yeah, well, that's a discussion, actually.
We have a piece of fire apparatus in that one already, don't we? Out of Simeone?
Yeah, we do.
It's an ambulance. It's an old fire department ambulance. Let's take a look at that.
This is only tangential to the issue at hand, but it'd be kind of sad to have put that much money and time into the van to have it only destroyed at the first really major incident.
It's a good comment, and we'll try to figure something out. And I think if the chief is willing to work with us, we'll put Mike in touch and see what we can do.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, let's call for the vote to accept the bid and authorize the city manager to sign the contract. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is the Martin letter, family letter of intent.
Mayor,
yes,
with your permission, I think at this point in time that the council needs to go into executive session to discuss these next two items.
Okay.
That both involve real estate, and I expect that the council will, when you reconvene, there will be action that will be taken.
On both of them?
Do you want us to go in?
I don't know if it will be both of them. But,
shall we meet in the back room?
Yeah, let's do it. And it won't be but right in 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to go into executive session. We should be approximately half an hour, and there will be action, possible action, when we return.